And welcome to Jazz Vignettes from the Hall. I am Fawn Fritzen. In this special series, music enthusiast Steve Gedrose explores the world of jazz from its roots to the present day. He breaks the fascinating, ever-evolving genre of jazz into easily digestible themes, backed up, of course, with plenty of music examples. In each episode, Steve will introduce you to the musicians who were or are some of the key driving forces behind the evolution of jazz music. We recorded Steve's presentations live at the beautiful Old Fire Hall in downtown Whitehorse, Yukon. Annually, between October and April, Jazz Yukon presents the Jazz in the Hall series, 5 concerts featuring local jazz groups. Each event is opened with a presentation by Steve, where he provides some background about the live music performed that evening. Episode 8 is all about fusion. Jazz rock fusion, that is. During the late 1960s and early 1970s, rock was king. This jazz rock fusion style grew from jazz players' interest in incorporating the intensity of rock and its electronic instruments into their jazz repertoire. We'll hear several key figures in this movement, including Miles Davis, Weather Report, Larry Coryell, Herbie Hancock, and Chick Corea. It's all yours, Steve.
Hi, everybody. I'd just like to give a little overview of jazz rock fusion tonight. As we know, in many styles of music, probably all artistic endeavors, it's really the young people that bring change to a particular field, and that's certainly the case with this music. The jazz rock fusion is a movement that came out of the late 60s when things were really bubbling all through North America, well, the world, but essentially North America is what I'm familiar with, so we'll go with that. Through the early 70s, it involved a combination of acoustic jazz instruments and electronic instruments more common to rock music, hence the name jazz rock fusion. The music was originally conceived as a mixture of jazz improvisation with the rhythms, timbre, and the energy of rock. Electronic keyboards were used, a lot of instruments like Fender Rhodes, Wurlitzer electric pianos, and synthesizers were really big in this style, like synthesizers by companies like ARP, Moog, Oberheim, and others. These essentially replaced the traditional acoustic piano in you'd normally have in a jazz band. The electric bass took over from the acoustic bass, and the electric guitar took on a totally different role. It became a loud, flashy focal point rather than a more demure solo instrument that we're used to in bop and typical jazz forms. Drummers also changed their style, with playing with a rock style that more emphasizes every beat rather than the dotted rhythms that we're used to in bop or in swing. There's lots of groups that are associated with this style. Some of the rock bands that used jazz-inspired horn sections, like Chicago and Blood, Sweat, and Tears, were kind of lumped into this category. They were some of the early ones in this field, actually. And later on, fusion music started to incorporate ethnic music. It took a lot of influence from Latin, African, and Indian traditions. All this was an effort to bring new and younger audiences to jazz. Jazz has always had a problem this way, actually, trying to find a new audience. In this particular period, late 60s, early 70s, there was a really a strong rock groundswell. R&B was really taken off, and soul music was also very popular. So the people in jazz just decided to try and attract some of those audiences, and that's exactly what they did, actually. So there's no one person that really invented this style, but a lot of people point to Miles Davis as being a really important contributor. Miles remains one of the most important jazz trumpet players in the world of modern jazz, really from the 1940s, late 40s, but from the 40s through the 90s, he was involved in almost every new innovation in jazz. He was a man of many contrasts. He had a brash, unrepentant personal style, and yet played with this tender and vulnerable sound on his horn. Miles saw the impact that rock bands were having in North American audiences and began to change his music and his personal style to take advantage of these new trends. Through the late 60s, he was increasingly more electric with his music. Albums like In a Silent Way and Bitches Brew from the late 60s are thought to really represent the dawn of this fusion era. As I've mentioned, this style of music used as jazz solos and rock rhythms to explore new territory. That's certainly what Miles added to. He used many more keyboards. He substituted electric bass for acoustic. He had several drummers in the band and really added a lot of elements that were more common to rock than to jazz in these years. Later on, he moved further away from jazz culture, incorporating rap and hip-hop into his music. He was never one to be content with his past glories. He was always looking to rediscover himself and expand the tradition, and he has certainly achieved that. So this first track I'd like to play, number one, please, Rolly, from 1969 album called Bitches Brew. And I'll just give you a rundown of some of the instruments involved in this. Three electric pianos, trumpet, soprano sax, bass clarinet, electric guitar, acoustic bass, electric bass, two drum sets, and two percussionists. So I think the term Bitches Brew is totally apt. This is a track called Spanish Key from Bitches Brew, a 1969 release. Number one, please, Rolly. I hear that, I'm compelled to say, Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore, and that's certainly the case. I mean, this was totally revolutionary at the time. Members of Miles's late 60s group formed many essential fusion bands. Wayne Shorter with keyboard wizard Joe Zawinul all started Weather Report. Herbie Hancock and Chick Corea also formed their own fusion groups, relying on electric keyboards and synthesizers instead of the acoustic piano that they'd played before. The next band I'd like to feature is the band Weather Report. Essentially, from the start, it was kind of like a rock supergroup. You had, as I mentioned before, Wayne Shorter and Joe Zawinul that were very well known to jazz audiences. They'd had a lot of different experiences with all kinds of different groups. They'd actually met back in the late 50s and 59 when they both played with Maynard Ferguson and reunited in Miles' groups in the late 60s. Zawinul and Shorter became the stable core of the band Weather Report, while other members rotated almost with each album. They'd bring in a new band. The success they had was pretty phenomenal. This band lasted for 15 years. They formed in 1970 and disbanded in 1985. Initially, Weather Report played free-floating collective improvisations that combined elements of rock, funk, jazz, and Latin music, and other ethnic musics as well, actually. And as the band evolved, the keyboard player, Joe Zawinul, made groove more important and began to impose more structure on their material. A significant event happened in 1976 when electric bassist Jaco Pastorius joined the group. Jaco was a flamboyant lead voice on bass and gave them essentially a third soloist in the band. He became one of the most influential players on his instrument, with his virtuosic solos and his wonderful compositions. In 1977, the next year, they released an album called Heavy Weather, which was their best-selling album through all those years. Following Heavy Weather, Joe Zawinul began to choose sidemen that were more amenable to the third world rhythms that he started to incorporate into the group. And as the group moved away from jazz, saxophonist Wayne Shorter kind of became less interested. And in 1985, he initially took a leave of absence, and then later that year, he left the band for good. The next year saw Zawinul tour with a revamped Weather Update, and then which preceded his own Zawinul Syndicate that recorded and toured the world for many, many years. So I have a track. I think a lot of people will have heard this song before. This is from Heavy Weather in 1977. This is called Birdland. Number two, Rolly, please. I hate to cut off Wayne, but that's how it goes sometimes. So this Birdland refers to a famous jazz club in New York named after Charlie Parker. That was their kind of their nod to their connection to jazz, but obviously they've taken it in a whole new direction. The next person I'd like to feature is a guitarist called Larry Coryell. Many fans see guitarist Coryell as the pioneer in jazz fusion. He brought a hard-edged, cutting tone and phrasing that borrowed more from blues, rock, and even country than the smoother bop influences that he grew up with. Early in his career, contemporary guitarists like Tal Farlow, Barney Kessel, and Johnny Smith influenced him. But as he evolved, he brought a more rock-based sound and technique to his playing. This meant more volume, of course, that's huge in this kind of music, and lots of distortion. It really increased the impact that his guitar had on the music. After playing a variety of more acoustic jazz groups, in 1972, he formed a band called 11th House. The group's first recording was called Introducing 11th House, and I have a track from that one coming up in a minute. This album shows the influence of Miles Davis, Herbie Hancock, and Weather Report, but took the jazz fusion audience, offered them, I should say, a really unique sound. This track, you'll notice right away, the powerful drumming of a guy called Alphonse Mouzon. He propels soloists Coryell and on guitar, and on this track, Randy Brecker on trumpet, to fiery new heights. They just, they burn. I'm sure you'll get it. This band recorded several albums to varying reviews and then disbanded a short time after in 1975. This one also has a connection to Bird. This track is called Bird Fingers. This was on the 11th House, Introducing 11th House, their first recording from 1972. So number three, please, Rolly. We'll be right back. So you get an idea here. These people had to be incredible musicians to be able to pull this off. Incredibly fast, very complex time signatures, and just really had to be totally proficient on their instruments. The next person I'd like to talk about is well known to a lot of people. It's Herbie Hancock. Herbie Hancock worked for Miles Davis and was inspired by him. He also, like Miles, remains very revered and controversial at the same time. He has a very restless spirit that sees him moving into all kinds of different areas of electronic and acoustic jazz and R&B, and he's been innovating in this style for over 40 years at this point. He worked with Miles from 63 to 68, which kind of made his name. Anybody that worked with Miles really had instant credibility in the jazz world. And Herbie is one of the best-known pianists in the world today, jazz pianists in particular. His interest in electronic gadgets and computers made him a perfect candidate to pursue this jazz rock fusion style. He used Fender Rhodes, Moog synthesizers, and clavinet in his music. He continues to explore both electronic and straight-ahead contemporary jazz. In more recent years, he's had several projects teaming up with some of the best-known people in pop music. And this track is from an album he recorded in 1971. The album was called Crossings, and this song is called Quasar. So we're into sci-fi here. So that's a taste of Quasar. This is electronic avant-garde at the time, and I don't know, it's not my favorite thing, but it's very interesting, and he certainly combines traditional instruments with electronic, and that's what this whole style was about. The last guy I'd like to talk about is also well-known to a lot of people. That's Chick Corea. He, like Herbie Hancock, is a restless innovator. Also like Herbie, he began playing the piano at the age of 4, so you can tell that these guys have devoted their entire lives to this music. He has moved back and forth, like Herbie Hancock, between acoustic and electric music. At times, Chick Corea has had both going, so he would book his electric band and then do the next week with his acoustic band, just to keep it interesting for himself, I think. But he's always pushing himself to find new areas of expression. He also worked for Miles Davis, so he got a taste of what being an excellent band leader was about and continues to be a great band leader. He spent many years delving into Latin music and continues to this day to follow the muse of some of his earliest influences like bop pianist Bud Powell and the great Bill Evans. Last year, Chick Corea hosted 10 different bands, including some 30 musicians, to play 4 weeks worth of concerts at the Blue Note Club in New York. This was to celebrate his 70th birthday. So essentially he reconvened a lot of the bands he'd had through the years and had them playing for this entire month in New York. It got amazing reviews. I'm sure it was fun. I wish I would have been able to see some of those shows. I'm sure a lot of people will be familiar with this track. It's one of Chick's most well-known compositions. This was from his great band, Return to Forever, that he had in the early 70s. In 2008, he reformed this band and they did a world tour. But this is a track called Spain from the Light as a Feather album, released in 1973. This is a party in the studio. Number 5, Rolly, please. There you go, Chick Corea, Spain. Fusion has been a really controversial stream for many jazz fans. Many jazz purists felt that by foregoing the traditional acoustic instruments, these players were selling out by using electronic instruments. But I also should mention, I've talked a lot about keyboards, but really the electric guitar is really key to this whole style. Jazz fusion continued to evolve through the 80s, where we see the wealth of guitarists come out of this period. People like Pat Metheny, John Scofield, Mike Stern, Bill Frisell. I can also mention John McLaughlin, Alan Holdsworth, Larry Carlton. The list just goes on and on. These were people essentially of an age that grew up with rock music, but really wanted to do something else with it. So fusion was a perfect avenue for them. As I mentioned, it requires incredible technique. They played at very fast tempos. It's kind of like an electric version of bebop music. The music has influenced the musical culture across the world with its affinity for long solos, diverse influences, and complex time signatures. It has had a profound impact on progressive rock and other rock styles. I find it interesting that jazz players initially borrowed these sounds and energy from rock, and yet they gave back a lot to rock as well. So that cycle continues. That's just a brief overview of jazz fusion. Thanks very much.
You have been listening to the 8th installment of Jazz Vignettes from the Hall, titled Jazz Rock Fusion. We recorded this episode in April 2012. We still have time to fit in a little bonus. It's another tune from the jazz fusion band Return to Forever, led by Chick Corea. They play 500 Miles High from their album Light as a Feather, released in 1973.
Thank you.
program was made possible by Jazz Yukon. Jazz Yukon is a volunteer organization that promotes and presents jazz in the Yukon through an annual integrated program of live jazz presentations and jazz education outreach. This episode was researched, written, and presented live by Steve Gedrose. Dieter Gade is our producer, and I am Fawn Fritzen. Thanks for being here.